I would like to introduce the first speaker, Sharon C., from the One Page at a Time group of NA in the PICNA area of NA.
Sharon.
I'm very glad. My name's Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
First of all, I'd like to thank the retreat committee for having me. I attend this retreat regularly, every year. It's my favorite retreat. The atmosphere gives me a sense of peace and serenity for at least 2 days until I go back to Pittsburgh to reality. So my clean date is September 29th, 2002. I haven't found it necessary to use. So God willing, next month I'll be celebrating 16 years. I originally was introduced, just a little bit about myself. I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous. I got clean the first time in 1988. I'm from Baltimore. I got clean in Baltimore. When I moved up here, I had almost 9 years clean. And I moved up here 7 years ago, in August. I got clean, stayed clean 8 years. I used again for 7 years before I got back here. I knew what I needed to do. I knew I needed to jump back in full force with my feet both in, and I haven't let myself get to that edge again. Because I know that, like, with clean time, I fell off. I fell off the edge. I keep my feet planted. I do all the things that I was told to do. I learned everything I needed to know to recover from the disease of addiction at the first meeting I went to. It's in all those readings that we do. Go to meetings, don't pick up, pray, get a sponsor, do step work and do service work. And if you do those things on a regular basis, you will stay clean. It's real simple. They told me to do 90 and 90. I probably did 150 and 90. Because I wasn't working in the beginning. I had no excuse not to get my ass to a meeting. And when I first got clean, the first time I was 26 years old, I let my license expire, so I had to pick up the phone and call and get rides to meetings. And I did. It was suggested for me to go to the same meeting for the first 90 days, every day. On a weekly basis, so people could get to know me. You'll make friends. If you go to the same meetings for the first 90 days, people will get to know you. So that's what I did. And I got to know people. And I got a sponsor. And I started this. I got in the process of doing the steps. And I started with one. The first step. I admitted I was powerless for a long time before I got clean. I knew I was an addict. I knew I was out of control, but I didn't know how to stop. Or I knew how to stop, but I didn't know how to stay stopped. That was my problem. People told me to come in here and sit on the front row. Because we didn't have circle meetings in Baltimore. The meetings were too big. There was way too many people. They called it the sick row where I got clean at. Sit up here on that sick row and listen to the similarities and not the differences. And that's what I did. And I got a sponsor. She put me on step work immediately. And when I got clean the first time, we didn't have a step working guide. It Works How and Why was not out in 1988. Because that was when I got clean the first time. We didn't have all this beautiful, wonderful literature we have now. All you guys coming in here now are really fortunate. We have some really state-of-the-art literature that is written by us, for us. Doctors or lawyers or nobody like that wrote the literature. We wrote this literature. You know, I remember sitting in workshops when we were writing at Worktown Y. When I lived in Maryland, we would have workshops on it, you know, and we were given a paragraph and 10 people would sit around the table and decipher it. And we would take words out, put words in, and it would get sent back to region, and they would send it back to world, and they would take all of our opinions into effect and make final decisions on it, you know. And that's how all our books were written, by us. You know, that's why we relate to it so much, you know. So anyway, I could admit I was powerless, but I couldn't accept it for a long time. There's two pieces to that first step. And, you know, but I started doing that and reading the literature, and I was told to read my steps every day for 30 days. And then I answered questions on it. And then I shared those the answers to my questions with my sponsor. You know, and she always taught me that she shared her experience with me as I was sharing my answers with her. You know, that's how I was sponsored in the beginning. So I didn't feel like I was alone. You know, that it was just about me. You know, I was taught that my sponsorship was a two-way street. So it made it easier for me to do my step work that way. You know, and I proceeded, you know, with, you know, coming to believe in my second step, you know, turning my will and my life over in the third step, doing a moral inventory. Well, what was that? You know, I had to learn all this language shit. I didn't use this kind of language when I was using it on the streets. I don't know about anybody else. You know, I had to look things up, like, what's a moral inventory? You know what I mean? And what I found out is, like, the word moral means positive, negative. So I found out, like, when I was doing my inventory, like, I had some assets. I wasn't all that, really that bad of a person. You know, drugs turned me into be somebody that I didn't want to be. You know, so, you know, and I shared that, you know, did my fifth step with my sponsor and God, and, you know, because that's just, you know, sharing your inventory is what your fifth step is. We need to God and another human the exact nature of our wrongs, you know, which, and when we write four, share it in five, it reveals your defects. So it prepares you for six. You know, I'm just trying to give you a scenario how it worked for me to, like, each step in that they're put in order for a reason, so it prepares you for the next step. You know what I mean? And six and seven go together. And when you get enough pain from six, you'll do seven. Just saying. That's just my experience. You know, them shortcomings will kick your ass. And when the pain gets great enough, you know, it says we entirely... We'll ask God to remove the defect of character. And then not in entirely, when not until you get enough pain, it happens. It says in It Works How and Why that it's a lifetime process, step six is. So, you know, I tell the girls I sponsor, don't get stuck. Just answer the questions and we'll move on. It says it's, you know, that's a painful step and it's going to take some. It didn't take us this time to get, didn't take us a little bit of time to get this way. It's going to take a little bit of time to undo it. You know, so, you know, so I have to remember that, you know, and step eight, it says that we became willing. We became willing to make a list. That's all. Pray for willingness and make the list. Don't worry about who, what, when is it going to happen and all that shit with your amends. Just make the list. That's all it says. Pray for willingness to make the list, you know? And, you know, and nine is actually making your amends. And it's highly suggested in our literature that you take your sponsor's guidance. I was sharing about this in a meeting I was in about a week ago. And we were talking about the eighth and ninth step. And, you know, and I had shared, like, if I went back to some of the places to make amends for some of the dirty shit I did, I'd probably be dead. For real. And so that's why it's important that, like, it suggests that we follow our sponsor's guidance through those two steps. You know, especially nine when we're getting ready to make You know, sometimes it's just about living the right way and doing the right thing or doing something good for your community, you know, that you've wronged. You know, so that kind of stuff. And, you know, and step 10 is like taking a daily inventory and admitting I'm wrong when I'm wrong. And that this step allows me to keep myself free from the triangle self-obsession, which is fear, anger, and resentment. Thank you, God. You know, because when I get in that state of mind, I'm back to step one in insanity. It's just a circle of insanity for me if I don't do that. And when I was doing this step after I answered the questions the first time, when the step working guide came out the first time and I answered the questions, went over them with my sponsor, and then she made me journal for 6 months every single day. Like, I couldn't just like say to myself and take my inventory at night at the end of my day, did I make amends? Did I have to make amends? What spiritual principles did I practice? What did I practice? What should I practice? You know what I mean? And no, I had to write every night for 6 months and write down about my day and did I need to make amends? Did I take my personal inventory? Did I treat people right? Did I do the right thing? Did I do the wrong thing? If I did the wrong thing, did I make my amends? You know, and but she wanted me to physically write it, and I did. I wasn't real consistent at it. It took me a while to get 6 months straight in, you know. So, but I did eventually, and it helped me. It always helps me. That helps me be consistent. There are certain things that my sponsors over the years have taught me to do that have taught me consistency. And consistency is really, really important for us. Not to just do it like one time or for one day or for 1 month, you know. You know, so for me, like 1, 2, and 3 are maintenance. 4, 5, 6, and 7 are the meat and potatoes. 10, 11, 12 are maintenance. You know, 2, 3, and 11 are my favorite steps for me. They're my God steps, man. I have to have them every day. Every day, you know, and you know, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, you know, and I always, I'm always, always working to improve my conscious contact, because when I do that, it allows me to be more consistent and live in God's will and practice in step 3. And when I'm living in God's will, I'm not living in Sharon's will. And I get a whole lot less pain in my life when I'm living in God's will. Although God will allow me to take my will back at any given moment, and then I can immediately get some insanity back, usually when I'm living in my will. And I take my will back. You know, for me, and step 12, you know, is we had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, and we carried the message to other addicts. You know, I believe that I got little spiritual awakenings a long time before I got to step 12. You know, like, it's sort of like with my amends. God put people in my life a long time. Not a long time, but through my process, God put people in my life I was able to make amends to before I got to my 8th and 9th step. You know, and our primary purpose is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Yeah, and a lot of people get this, like the newcomer's the most important person. But the newcomer is not always the person who's still suffering. It could be the old timer, the sometimer, you know what I mean? You know, I got clean in 1988 the first time. With 8 years clean, I was the still suffering addict. And I used, because I didn't tell anybody I was suffering, and I got high again. You know, with some time. You know, and then I stopped coming, then I stopped praying, then I was hanging out with people that were casual users that could smoke a joint and drink a glass of wine. You know, and in the meantime, after not coming for a year, I used. Because I was hanging out with people that were using. It's that simple. You know, and I socked off all my meetings, and then I completely stopped praying. I gave up my service commitments, wasn't going to my home group. You know, and the disease just was having a party with me. And that's what happens. It happens to all of us. You know, when we don't stay consistent, we don't stay plugged in, you know, we don't stay in the middle. And that's what I was talking about earlier, like when you get to the edge, you fall off. You know. You know, so I've done a lot of service work, whether it's been convention service work, H&I service work, sponsorship service work, home group service work. I'm always doing something for my recovery, you know, and I stay plugged in, you know. And like recently I've had some health problems and I'm not working anymore. So like, I used to work around the clock seven days a week. I was an independent contractor, and I'm not doing that anymore. So, like, I'm throwing myself back into my recovery, you know what I mean, and giving it back, you know, and I've taken on some more sponsees. And, like, that's my thing right now. You know, that's what I'm doing for my recovery. And it keeps me plugged in. And I love working with the other women and women I sponsor. You know, I get to do more step work than just mine. And it allows me to revisit and revisit and revisit and overdo all my steps all the time, because I share with them my steps. You know what I mean? I share bits and pieces of me with them. You know, and that helps us like build a trust bond in our relationship. I believe sponsorship's a two-way street. It's not just them calling me. It's not just them, you know, answering the questions and me not like interacting with that with them. So. I think that's really important. I think that's really important, you know, because like the steps like come from is that's my responsibility as a sponsor is to teach my sponsees about the steps. And the last thing I'm going to touch on about 10, 11, and 12 are the spiritual principles in the steps. In the step working guide, the first sentence, if everybody here has opened the step working guide, the first sentence in the spiritual principles tells you exactly what spiritual principles that you touch on in that step. In every step in the guide, the first sentence in the spiritual principles part in this step will tell you exactly what spiritual principles, and a lot of it's redundancy, but you know, for me, I learned, instead of like, for me, so I don't get caught up in like the fear, anger, and resentment, like I try to incorporate a spiritual principle in its place. It makes me feel better. It makes me a better person. You know, I treat people how I want to be treated today. You know, am I perfect at it? No. I get better. I strive to be a better person today than I was yesterday. And tomorrow I'll try to be a better person tomorrow than I was today. You know, and that's all I strive for. You know what I mean? If I can keep my mind quiet for 5 more minutes today than I did yesterday, I'm doing good. Because I was like a hamster wheel. I couldn't quiet my mind. I didn't know how to quiet my mind for years and years and years. But now I know, and I enjoy my time, you know what I mean? But I don't ever want to forget either, because I can go back to that in a minute, because I've done it before, I had some time here and I've went back, you know, and I don't want to do that again. I'm way too old to be kicking a habit. Way too old. You know, so I'm not trying to do all that. So I think that's all I have. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you.